Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am. I really am that you chose to be with me on this very beautiful Sunday, August 27th, 2017. We're going to be looking at not enough to be alive. What does that mean? Well, we're going to talk about it here in a moment. I want to remind you that these radio programs are supported solely and entirely upon your tax-deductible donations. It is only through your kind donations that I am able to sit here in my little cubby making radio programs in my office, and I hope that you will find what is offered here worthy of your support. Your donations go to serve humankind in all sorts of different ways, not just one way, not just radio, but TV, my hospice work, everything that Aspire does to serve humankind. So I'm hoping that you will take a look at our website at aspire.org, aspire.org, and if you go there, you will see support in the middle of the page, of course. And if you click on that, a submenu will come down and will say, why support Aspire? Which is a very good question. And I have some insights there for you. It will explain not only where your donations go, the tax deduction, how I will send you a letter confirming your donation for your taxes, but why giving is important. And even from that little part in the website, you can go and sign up to be a sponsor. It would mean a lot to me. It would mean a lot to the world. Believe me, your donations go a lot further than you would ever think possible. Trust me on that one. Go take a look, aspire.org. What does it mean, not enough to be alive? Well, I get these interesting emails from time to time from people that are, you know, struggling with things that I think a lot of conventional minds don't struggle with. And they look at things from a different point of view. Always, this is very intriguing to me, and I find it extremely meaningful. So I thought I would bring it up and talk a little bit about it today. The first one comes from Susan. She does not tell me where she lives. I am not a very happy person, Greg. I am very unhappy with the world. I think it's a very dangerous and uncomfortable place. When I was younger, I used to be happy just being alive. Now, being alive is not enough to make me happy. Would you care to help, Susan? Well, of course, Susan. I don't know if I can help. Happiness is a state generally in most of us of our psychology. And if you live by your psychology, you live an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And it is a very difficult thing to live for and live by. Because in my psychology is all of my genetics and my DNA, and also the reaction of my brain, my mind with its chemicals and how it operates with the neurons firing off and the frontal lobe issues. And there's all sorts of things going on. And all of this just takes place constantly in my mind. Therefore, depending upon the genetics that I inherited from my forefathers, it could be my mother and father or my great-great-grandfather or whatever, I will measure life based on the whole idea of what is happening to me, the physical response that is going on in this world, and what life is all about according to that. Now, when I live in that kind of idea and that kind of belief system, that kind of psychology, I am bound to be very unhappy because I am looking around me saying that my environment must comfort my psychology. And my psychology is going to be measuring, thinking, analyzing, assessing, judging what is happening in accord to whatever my emotional needs are at the time. My psychology will then start adapting to that, thinking, well, we need more of this and less of that. And that's how we will be happy. Notice, Susan, what it is inside you that is so unhappy. You think it's the state of the world. You think it's the world around you, the environment that you might be in. But I say to you, it's the environment of my psychology that is my issue. My psychology, the way I think, the way my body functions emotionally, the chemicals change as we get older. The men have testosterone issues. The women, well, you know what they have. Do I need to say? I mean, we start losing these chemicals in our bodies, and then the next thing you know, we're miserable. Your estrogen level. Take a look at that. Take a look at everything that you had when you were younger and watch and see how it goes away. And as it dwindles away and leaves our bodies, as it were, or changes in our body, then we start changing in our psychology. And then before you know it, we're very, very miserable. Because, well, maybe your mother or your father or your grandparents or somewhere down the line were very, very miserable people also suffering from depression. You could go down the line and see what's going on. And if you did, genetically speaking, go down the line, if you did, I think it would answer a lot of your questions. So it has to do a lot with DNA and all of that. Should it stop there? Should I just say, well, this is the way it is, and I'll just be miserable to the day I die? I wouldn't. I wouldn't at all. I would do those things. I would start those things. I would go into a new life, not to be younger and all of that, but to be conscious, to start to be aware of what it means to enter into consciousness. Now, to enter into consciousness is a very important thing. It will bring about insight and love and caring. It will bring about the elements of peace, inner peace. I don't like the way the world is either. I really don't. I don't like the way the world functions. I don't like the way people think. I'm not real thrilled with what we have become in this country. I'm not thrilled with it at all. But do I allow it to govern my inwardness? My environment is not always the way I want it to be. It just isn't. But my inwardness, the things that are inwardly important to me, that is what is truly, truly essential. I don't let those things determine the state of my being. If you knew, Susan, after some time in meditation, how beautiful you are, how magnificent is your being, and how powerful it is, you would never be influenced again by the rigors of humanity and its stupidity. You would just never allow that to happen ever again. But what can I say to you? How can I tell you that and get you to truly understand that? It would be very, very difficult. That's why it is important to do things that are out of the box for your age. You don't tell me how old you are, so I don't know. And I really don't think it matters anyway. I really feel that what matters is the practice. Practicing living without strings attached to this world. Strings attached to your body. Strings attached to your thinking. Just realizing my thinking is causing all of this stuff to appear to be real, which is making me miserable. Now, if you can look at it from that point of view, You can change some things in your life quite quickly. You really can. But if you don't change those things, if you don't have any insight, if you are not a grateful person, and gratitude is a huge part of all of this, then you're just going to sink down into being unhappy and miserable. Misery is a choice. Happiness, well, it usually has a lot to do with the body. It has a lot to do with the thinking. But true joy, true meaningful joy, has to do with consciousness. And if you can practice a little bit, get into it, get physical, go to the website at aspire.org, take a look at where to begin. You will see there are meditations you can do that will help you immensely. Get involved, do some catharsis, do some vipassana, get with maybe a couple of the meditations that I offer in Tibetan pulsing that offer well-being. You will see things will change. They really will. But it's not in the outer world. It'll be in your inner world. The outer world may stay the same forever, but your inner world, oh, no one can touch that but you. You are the architect of it all. I hope that helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. People aren't happy. They blame government. They blame the president. They blame their neighbors. We don't understand our anatomy. We don't understand what we are, who we are, how we got here. We are uneducated in it. I'm as uneducated as anyone else. I had to read and study and understand the physiology of it all before I could understand even the remotest sense of what meditation could do. The next one comes from Kay. Kay lives in L.A. She often emails me, and I always welcome her emails. They're a lot of fun. She just asked this, Greg, what is life? I mean, really, what is it, Kay? Well, Kay, it depends on what you are calling life. Are you calling life what exists in this world? What is going on in this world? Is that what you're talking about? I don't know. I'm going to assume, I'm going to make an ass of me here, that you mean the outer world and what we're doing in this outer world. And I'm just going to kind of keep it at that level, hoping in some way or another that I am correct. Life is what is going on in the world, as it were, with events and circumstances that I am interpreting through my muddled little Greg mind. And as Greg looks at the muddled world that he sees based on the perceptions he has, living in the genetics and DNA of what it means to be a Penn, P-E-N-N kind of guy, my last name, he comes out of this whole rigmarole thinking that he knows what's happening and all of that and why it might be happening. He interprets life based on the circumstances of his genetic disposition, his psychology, his beliefs, his ideals, his whole, and it's all wrong. Every inch of it is wrong. Every inch. I don't know how to tell you how wrong we all are about what life really is. Now, if I tell you, which I'm going to, what life really is from the point of view of what I'm offering to you here, then it might be helpful. To see the meaning of our life is to have a life indeed. To really recognize my life in this world, in this livingness, is one of the most important things I could ever do in my livingness. So It is important for me not to interpret things based on the Gregory. The Gregory of the pen, as I call it. Gregory being the man that sits here talking to you, which is a blend of his genetic nature and his DNA. And the pen being the source of all of that. I interpret a great deal of what's going on in this world. I formulate a judgment, a final conclusion, and then I determine whether or not I like it or not, whether I'm happy or not. This is a very foolish way to live my life, very foolish. And yet, Gregory insists upon it. I, on the other hand, choose to do something far different, far more powerful than that. To transcend Greg and what it is that he believes in, that he interprets life from, is the key. And I have found that it is really easy, very simple, to just ignore Greg and his pen. I just find it very simple to realize he's noise. He's nothing but noise. His thinking is noisy. His judgments are distorted. His beliefs are nuttier than a fruitcake. And I just choose not to go there, not to make decisions based on that. And I watch as he wants to make constant decisions, Kay, over and over and over again, on the fundamentalism of what it means to be a pen. He wants to think, this is a thatta, and thatta is a thissa, and if you put the thatta with a thissa, you get a whole different animal. This would be a better world if everybody did what I want, blah, 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 blah. And he's droning on and on and on and on to nothing. And I feel sorry for anyone who ever lived with him, had to be with him. It is painful. Now I don't do that. I simply observe life. And life is an ocean of beauty and existence that can have great ugliness in it if I wanted to, or great joy and great goodness in it if I want it. But I have to be able not to paint the picture, but to see through the picture to the core of what life really is all about. And there are many things I don't understand with my human conceptions and beliefs and theories and understanding. No one can totally comprehend the essence of this lifetime and this life because it is beyond my conception. A new mind would have to be born. And that's what we're doing in meditation. We're finding a way to have a new mind. A mind no longer in struggle, in conflict with itself and with others. A mind that is born not out of duality, but out of simplicity, out of oneness. And I don't strive to make this happen. I sit quietly and I learn how not to be fooled by my senses, how not to be fooled by my thinking, how not to be fooled by what my perceptions are and how I want things to be. I don't fool myself in any of that. I simply observe and watch. Nothing stays the same. Everything is in a flux. Everything is born out of and lives in impermanence. And it's in this huge flux of life that living is found. So when you ask me, Kay, what is life? It is whatever it is. And if Gregory is allowed to have interpretation of it, or he is allowed to become the source of it, it's not a good thing. But when I step back and I simply watch, I see with the meaning of what it is to give up my resentments, my pride, my vanity, my small-mindedness, my beliefs, my desires, my ambitions, my divided thinking, dualistic thinking, and I no longer live as dualistic. And whatever happens is perfectly fine because it is happening. And it may not be happening the way I think it is or the way I want it to be, but it is happening. And I must be with it. Something of the other shore is trying to reach us all. And I have to be willing to receive that message and know what that means. I hope that helps you. A little abstract there at the end, hey? Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question. Life is not what I had hoped it would be, and my life is not enough to be meaningful. I am miserable. Is there any way out of this, Karen? And she does not tell me where she lives. Well, it depends on you, Karen, if there is any way out of it. I can't tell you if there is. It depends on you. It depends on everything I just taught here in this radio program. It depends on whether or not you're willing of a new mind. It depends on whether or not you want to stick to your guidelines for happiness. If you want to stick by that, if you want to live in the rigors of that, then evidently nothing's going to change. But if you're willing to live beyond the beyond a little bit, beyond the ideas and ideals of what you think is right and wrong, good and bad, then something of the other shore can reach you. Something very beautiful, something magnificent can reach you. And you will find that nothing is the way you thought it was. You will have many beautiful surprises. And nothing that is happening as it looks like it is falling apart or being destroyed or whatever is happening the way I believe it's happening. You will be astounded at the pause, the gap, the spaces, those in-between things, and how much power lives in those in-between things. It is in those gaps and pauses and spaces that you and I can recognize, if we are willing, that will tell us everything we needed to know about the meaning of our life. I am a true, what do I want to say, 60s guy. My body, my mind, everything is built in that era. I think in terms of we shall overcome. I think in terms of we can make this a better place, blah, blah. But I'm full of bull. And you have to look at it from the point of view that there are many who do not share in any of this and do not want any of that to happen. It's more self-oriented. So I use the energy of my 60s to be the energy that keeps me searching and seeking within myself to accept what is happening. The most mature thing we can do is to accept what is happening and then allow it not to make us miserable. You have to want, as we say in Zen, what's happening now. To want what's happening now is the highest level of maturity. It is simply to accept what is going on, even though it is not what we wanted, not what we thought would happen. It is to see things as it is, as it ain't, the way it is, and the way it will be. And just let it go. There's nothing more you can do. What can you say? What can you do? How can you change it? You and I can't. We can only change ourselves. And when I change myself, I see the light of love in everything. And I am no longer bound by my past. I no longer fear my future. And I can see everything in the light that it is created in love. I'm out of here. I gotta go. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. You have a wonderful weekend. I'll be back with you next weekend. I hope you will join me. Thank you for listening. Become a sponsor, eh? Help me here. Please forgive me. Namaste.